that, you know, when I knew I was coming here, I said, Lord, what do you want me to minister on this church? Because, you know, I don't know what goes on all the time. And sure enough, it was about, I think, 3 or 4 days later, the Lord put in my heart, what do you want me to minister on? But I'll tell you, the Bible is living.
Yes.
Because the particular passage of Scripture that I'm going to be coming from with you, the chapter, it happened to me just the other day. The other day, I performed a marriage about 2 weeks ago. And when you do that, you have certain documents you have to turn into the court, and then certain documents you give back to the bride and the groom. And I had these papers. I'd already turned the stuff to the court, and I had the remainder of the items with me to give back to the couple later on this week, and I was paying close attention. Don't lose this. That's how I had it in my mind. Don't lose this. Don't lose this. And I'd been putting off cleaning out my car for a little bit, and I said, you know what? I'm going to clean out my car today without fail. And it was about 11 o'clock at night. I had just left my dad's house. And I go to the gas station where they got a little hose and went and got the change. And I took the papers out. I set them on top of the car. I put my jacket on top of the papers so that the wind will not blow it off. And I got all the stuff out of the car, and I go to put the money in the vacuum, and the vacuum doesn't work. So now I'm a little upset. I'm like, man, I just took all that out of the car, and I got to put it all back in. So I quickly put everything back in the car, not thinking, put my jacket back in, and I went up the road to another gas station, and that air machine wasn't working. So I'm like, I got to go all the way down by my house to get this done. So when I'm finally done and clean out the car and I put everything back in, it comes to my mind. I had left the documents on the roof of the car, and I'm like, oh my goodness, how am I going to explain this? So I went to an initial gas station. I said, well, the pack was kind of heavy. Maybe they all just fell right on the ground. And I'm going about, it's about 12 o'clock now, and I'm looking, driving slow, got my hazard lights on, and I go to the first gas station, looked all around, didn't see it, and then I said, Lord, Lord, Lord. And I went up to the other gas station, didn't see it, and I was getting ready to go all the way back up to where I had actually cleaned out my car at, and Lord said, go one more time up to where I had taken the car out. And I went there, and I went straight up the road, and I said, Lord, please just let me find those two documents. The one with the witness's signature and the one with the seal. And I turned my car to the left. Now, keep in mind, 40 minutes have passed. 40 minutes, and the wind is steadily blowing. Wind is steadily blowing. Out of all the papers on the ground, one caught my eye, and I pulled in, and I walked over, put my hand on it, and glory to God, it was the first paper with the witness's signature.
Right.
I said, thank you, Jesus. I turned around, went 5 more steps, and there was one with the seal. I don't know about you, but Scripture said when the woman had lost the coin, she diligently searched for it. When she found, she rejoiced. I called my dad and said, you ain't going to believe what happened. God is good. God is good. Oh, man. Woo! All the things came to my mind. How am I going to explain this one? Woo! Oh, but man, God is good. And I don't know how the papers actually came out. I never did find the actual package, but I found what I was looking for. And I said, oh, man, I thank God, because you should have seen the wind. It was just like the wind is steadily blowing. It could have been raining. It could have left in the street. It could have been run over by cars. But I tell you, I don't know how the gas station on this side of the street, papers made it safely all the way over the other side, about 100 yards from the gas station. But God is good. And I just want to thank the Lord for that for my testimony. Woo! Man, I'll tell you, God is good. It's like losing your wallet and finding it. You get all excited all over again. You ain't got to cancel credit cards and all the stuff, but God is good. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to you. We magnify your name. Lord, we thank you for all that you do in the house of your people, Lord. We just want to thank you for the families, Father God. Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you for allowing Pastor Miller to go down to the youth camp. Lord, we just ask you to just bless that service, that those youth be saved and come back on fire for Jesus. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. And amen. If you have the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, say amen.
Amen.
Now, normally I don't read a whole chapter, but today we're going to read a whole chapter. Because the thought process is established from verse 1 to the end. And the Word of God reads this. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spoke this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if you lose one of them, doeth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he called together his friends, his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Yes. And I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, yes, more than over 99 just persons, yes, which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doeth not light a candle and sweep thy house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends, her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now let's pay attention. Verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give to me the goods that fall to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after the younger son had gathered all together, he took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain fill his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of your hired servants. And as he arose, he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him at compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto the father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But thy father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. And he put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and he is alive. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. And now his elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh into the house. He heard music and dancing. He called to one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and he would not go in. Therefore his father came out and entreated him. And he answering said unto his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress thee at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all I have is thine. And it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, and is alive again, was lost, and is found. Amen. The message I'll be preaching this morning is simply entitled, The Prodigal in You. The message of the cross is in every chapter of the Bible. It deals with the very heart of man. It cuts through the fluff and gets to the root of the problem. It exposes individuals for who they are deep down inside and causes our sins of self and our sins in general, our sins against God, to become manifest that we might see our need for a Savior. Amen? Yeah. We learn through it that we are utterly helpless to help ourselves, and through the grace of God we have life and have life more abundantly. In this text that we look at this morning, we see that God is truly willing that none should be lost, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. We see the example in the 99 sheep and the one that's lost. God left everything that was saved and went after that which is lost. We see that God does not want people to leave this earth lost. He is concerned about those that don't know him. He's concerned about those that are not in the flock. We see God's character in the woman in the coin. God does not write something off because it's misplaced. He doesn't just give up because it's misplaced. Yeah. He doesn't give up because a person hasn't come to church for a while. He will look and find them. Yeah. And when he found them, and when he finds them, there is great joy.
Yeah.
I don't know about you. If I lost some money and I found it, I'd probably keep my mouth shut. Can I borrow some money? Oh, I didn't find that money. We see God's love in the parable of the prodigal son. God knows what we have done, and he's aware of the sins we've committed. He's aware of what we do with the talents he has given us. He knows we bury them or use them. And this story, God shows his great compassion in spite of our failures. He shows his willingness to restore us if we have sense enough to come home.
Yeah.
God is love.
Yes.
And this morning, when we look at the story of the prodigal son, we always focus on the son that left and went and did what he did and came back and how God forgave him. That's the bulk of the story. But I want to read a scripture to you just to show something here. Whenever sometimes we come to church and hard passages of scripture are read, I don't know, when I was growing up, if there was a passage of scripture about judgment, I knew I wasn't the one not being judged. But for instance, if we read Corinthians 6 and 9, and chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, the Word of God reads, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulteress, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And I sat in church many times, heard that. I knew I was every last one of those things. I wasn't going to admit it. I wasn't going to come out and say, "Hey, preacher's talking about me," because of pride.
Yeah.
The message of the cross will deal with that pride.
Yeah.
Because God knows who you are. And he would rather deal with you on this earth and have to send you to everlasting judgment. Amen.
Yeah.
Whenever we hear a hard passage of scripture, pride in man immediately rises up and says, "He ain't talking to me." Well, in fact, the preacher probably is. And what I'm going to get to today, and the reason the title of the sermon is entitled "The Prodigal and You," is because scripture says there are two sons. You can be well behaved and unsaved.
Amen.
You can be well behaved and unsaved.
Yeah.
You may be a liar, a thief, a gossiper, a murderer. You might be well behaved, but being well behaved does not mean that you're saved.
Amen.
It just means you're well behaved.
Yeah.
There are scores of religions that bring about well behaved citizens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well behaved people, very well disciplined and religious, and they do certain things. They pray so much time every single day. Look at the Muslims. We know the falseness in the religion, but externally, they pray. They don't. I ain't never seen one gossip yet. I'm sure they do, but externally they look very good. There are a lot of people that look and are seen well behaved, but unless you have an encounter with the cross, then you're just well behaved. Many times in your life, you may hear a message dealing with the prodigal son, how God's mercy is wonderful and great, and God's mercy is wonderful, and it's great. But the scripture reads in verse 11, "A certain man had two sons." There were two sons in this story, one younger and one older, and we know how the story goes because we just read it. The younger is like many of us. We want our blessing right now. "God, give me what's mine right now. I want it all right now, even though I'm not ready for it, even though I'm not mature enough to handle it. I want it right now." So we see this younger son going to his father, and it's very inappropriate to man things. From, in this context, the father wasn't even passed away. He wasn't even dead yet. He wasn't even in the grave. And the son's like, give me what's going to follow me when you die. I can't wait for you to die, Dad. I want it right now. I just want it right now. I want to go do what I want to do."
Come on.
We need to wait for the blessings of God to come to fruition. We see this young man feeling that he was owed something. And we see this in both of the sons. They both get this feeling that they're owed something. The one son feels he's owed something because he's so righteous and so obedient. The other son just says, "You're my daddy, you owe me something."
Yeah.
That's the wrong attitude to have. But we see that God gives these two what they asked for. And it says the father gave to both his sons his living. Not just the one, but he gave both of them his sons. In Jewish custom, that would have been very embarrassing to go and liquidate all of your assets to give it to your children. It wasn't like that Chase Bank had a savings account and said half goes to you, or a three-fourths goes to you, and a fourth goes to you. But to actually sell what he had to give his sons what they would inherit. But we see that this young son, and this is the mistake of many in the church, the father's house is a type of the kingdom. And sometimes things will be going so good in the Father's house and so perfect that sometimes we look for other things for entertainment and enjoyment. There's some in the church right now that are in the church comfortable, but they have a desire to leave and go back to the things of this world because they think that the world has something to offer them that God does not have. So we find that this young man is carried away by lust. He thinks that it's better out there in the world than in the Father's house. Many have left the church because they think it's better out there in the world than it is in the Father's house. But we learn that there's an end to to the man's story. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto man, and in the end is death. This son thought the way was the world, and in the end what happened? Death was brought about. He lost his inheritance. He lost everything that he had. Outside of the kingdom of God is just wasteland. You might have fun for a little bit. You might have a little party. You might kick back and think everything's merry. But in the end, we find this man in judgment. Because after he had spent all that he had, the scripture says there is a famine in the land. He went from riches to rags, from plenty to famine. The world might look enticing, but in the end it's a trap. And if you fall for it, you're brought to nothing. Brought to nothing. When the devil sees you leave, he's like, yes! You see, God gets rejoicing when a sinner comes to repentance. And the devil rejoices when he sees one of God's children turning away from the things of God, going backwards. That's what makes the devil happy. We're not here on this earth to bring the devil any joy. Amen?
Amen.
We see this young man coming to his senses, realizing the error of his way, and returning home, not to be a son, but to be a servant. He realized that he had sinned, and he had the right attitude. He knew who he sinned against. He knew it was his father. He knew that sin has consequences. He said, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Just make me a servant. But here's the cross. Here's the cross. You see, I love God so much that in spite of all of our failures, you might have never backslidden. You might have never went out with that man that wasn't your husband. You might not have ever went to a party and done anything bad. But God will save you the same way that will save the violent sinner on the face of this earth. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ. And some people don't like that. You mean you'll save this person and he didn't do a thing? He was just wicked and bad? Don't you know the other brother knew about his brother's sins? He's like, Dad, he spent your whole living and now you reward him with this fatted calf? Don't you know some people in the church like for people to be judged? Some people in the church like for people to be judged. You've fallen from grace. You were singing in the church and now you're singing in the club. Ha ha ha, God's going to judge you. But when a person realizes the error of their ways, his mercies are new every morning. His sins, your sins are cast as far as the east and from the west. He'll restore you back to where you come from. He'll restore you from falling to falling in Jesus' name. God is good. Grace is unmerited favor. I could not earn my way to salvation. I couldn't be obedient enough. It's not about the things that you do, but it's about receiving the gift of God, which is free without strength. Can you get it this morning? You see, the other son didn't know about the cross. He didn't know about the cross. He thought you'd stand down in judgment. Now, don't get me wrong. That young man went through some consequence. He was eating with the pigs, for heaven's sake. Sin has its consequence. But the consequence is to convict you to look to Jesus. And to look to Jesus to realize you are doing better in the kingdom than you're doing better in this world. We can learn not to err so badly. Hallelujah. But you know, this other son's the son that got issues, real issues. Word of God reads in verse 25, his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants to ask what these things meant. And he said unto them, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. Now, I don't know about you. I have four sisters, and I was the only boy. And when I was growing up, I got done wrong. I got done wrong. We had one bathroom, four girls. I was outnumbered. And through the years, I had some issues. I had four sisters. I only liked two of them. But some of the bad issues that were the worst. They just treated me horrible. Always, let me tell you what siblings do. I used to have this bank, a little bunny bank in my room. And I put quarters in it, and all these quarters. And little did I know, one day I went to cash it out, and the bank was heavy. I was like, ooh, I'm going to have probably $20 in here. And I opened up the bank, and all these pennies fell out. My sisters had been climbing around the roof, coming into my room, taking out the quarters, putting in pennies, and I was none the wiser. I got the short stick of the deal. And then it's like, ah, ha, 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 we got you. But in this story, if you know that your family member that you've grown in love with your entire life has just gone down the wrong path all of a sudden, went from riches to rags, wouldn't you be concerned? I mean, wouldn't you be concerned about your brother that was lost? Wouldn't your priorities be that, you know, we need to find him, we need to go and rescue him, our brother is lost, what's going on? Something's missing from the church these days.
Amen.
When I was in the world, and I had agreed to meet my friends at a certain place at a certain time, and I wasn't there, my phone lit up. Adam, where you at? You missing the party. Adam, where you at? But in the church, people can be missing for weeks.
Yeah.
No calls go out.
Yeah.
No one steps up to see where they're going. They are lost. Go and find them. Go and find them. Don't accept it. The written lost is just gone. This brother had the wrong attitude. He was angry that his brother came back to repentance. How are you going to be mad about someone getting saved? How are you going to be mad about someone seeking forgiveness? But the church is full of empty seats because people that were once there don't get that call. The devil does not stop working on people just because they show up at church one time. He's always trying to cause them to go backwards and not forward. I hope every last one of you has got each and every one's number. You know, your favorite 5, your favorite 10, your favorite 20. The people that are in this church who are your best buddies. Have lunch, dinner. Have prayer meetings all the time, not Sundays and Wednesdays, because the devil attacks 24/7. But we have a God who loves his family and will bring them back together whether we like it or not. This son was angry and would not go in. You know what's funny? One son wanted out. The other one didn't want to come back in. But God's Father went out for both.
The Father came out to the Son.
You see, it's all about God and what God does that makes the difference. And he was angry and would not go in. And therefore came his father out and entreated him. And answering and said to his father, Lo, these many years I do serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time. I'm so perfect, Dad. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, and thou hast killed him the fatted calf, and said unto him, Son, thou art ever, and he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and lost and is found. You see, the other son is the type of Jonah. Mm-hmm. See, God sent Jonah to Nineveh to preach to them and tell them to repent. Jonah didn't want to go. He went the opposite direction. He wanted God to judge those people. He wanted God to judge them. He wanted God to wipe them off the face of the earth. He had no love for them. And this brother had no love for his other brother because he had the I'm better than you complex. Now I want to warn you of something. When you got the message of the cross, you'll live a holy life. You realize that? When you understand the message of the cross, you will live a holy life.
Yes.
You'll find yourself free from sin. You'll find yourself victory after victory, going through trial after trial, coming on top every single time. But be careful not to think that it's you that has anything to do with it. Otherwise, self-righteousness will build up. It'll build up because you'll think, well, I'm so great. Ooh-wee. I've been clean. I've been saved. What's going on with Jesus? I'm so great. Now, in church, you'll never say, it's the Lord.
Yeah.
It's the Lord. Ooh, it's the Lord. Hallelujah. But if that's not matching what your heart's really saying, then you've got pride issues.
Yeah.
Let the cross deal with that. Otherwise, God will deal with you.
Yeah.
Pride comes before the fall. Don't ever get so high and mighty that you think you've accomplished or you've obtained. Any victory that we have is given solely by the Lord.
Yeah.
Any victory we have ever, anything we ever accomplished is solely done by the Lord. He just allows us for take. In it.
Amen.
We have to not be self-righteous. But Jesus will get it right. You see, the difference between religion and relationship is that religion can never produce a true product.
Yeah. Amen.
Religion can never produce a true product. I can tell you to be righteous, not to cuss. Don't you cuss. Don't you curse. Don't you look at that woman. Turn off that rated R TV. I can give a lot of instructions in religion to bring about a fruit or a discipline, but that's not deliverance.
No.
See, there's a difference between being restrained and contained and being delivered. The way that God works, if he doesn't put little restrictions on us Christians,
no.
He doesn't give us a whole list of do's and don'ts. He says, get to know me and get to love me.
Yes.
Do you realize that the entirety of the gospel is love?
Yes.
The entirety of the gospel is love. How many married people do we have in here? Do you love your wife? Do you love your husband? Do you have to tell your husband not to do certain things? You have to tell him not to call somebody up in the middle of the night that's not you. Do you? You have to tell your wife to stop talking to that dude at work and her man's always trying to flirt with her. Do you ever have to tell your wife to just show you respect? No, it's mutual, right?
Yeah.
It's love.
Yeah.
When you have a correct understanding of who Jesus is,
yeah,
and you have a love relationship with him, because I'm so in love with the world. Because I'm so in love with Jesus.
Amen.
I have no need for the things of this world.
Yes.
Because I'm so in love with Jesus. You couldn't get me to look at an idol. Because I'm so in love with Jesus. You couldn't get me to use the Lord's name in vain. Because I'm so in love with Jesus. And he's so in respect. I learned it from my mommy and daddy that respect. Because I love Jesus. He doesn't have to tell me what not to do. I do it because I'm in a relationship with him. And I love him. So because he's coming all in me, what's coming out of me is the love of God. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. You see, the other son, all he had was, I've been obedient. I did what you told me to do. I did what you told me to do. All these years, I did what you told me to do. And you never rewarded me with nothing. You never rewarded me with nothing. You never said, go get me the cap and have a little party with your friends. I've been a good little soldier marching around doing what you did, and I was a respectable son. But now this fool you raised has went out, has spent all your money, done everything bad, been hanging out with the harlot, been going into the club. He comes back and you want to kill the fatted calf? Well, let me tell you, that fatted calf is the sign of Jesus. Because when you kill something, blood's got to be shed. And when you kill something, blood's got to be shed. The father said, well, you were always with me, but you see this fatted calf, you know, when you get a fat calf, you got to feed it some good things. Jesus was fed some good things for 33 years.
Yeah.
And then he gave up his life.
Yeah.
And we were the recipient.
Yeah.
We were the recipient,
yeah,
of that grace. And we were married when we got saved. Or you were excited when you got saved. Guess what? I was lost, but now I'm back. Guess what? I was lost, but now I'm back. He gives his gifts without merit.
Amen.
The other son had to get a dose of the cross. Son, I don't love you because you're obedient. I love you because you're my son.
Amen.
I don't love you because you're obedient. I have two kids. My kids are not obedient. And I love them to death.
Yeah. Amen.
I love them to death.
Yeah.
Because they're mine.
Yeah.
Don't you know love overlooks the pudding on the wall? Love, the Bible says, overlooks the multitude of sins. While we were yet sinners. While we were yet in our prodigal nature. God looked beyond our faults. And he saw our needs. The elder, some and most of the church, missed the point. You can live your whole life being well-behaved and self-righteous. But if you never come to that point where you realize, you know what? I can't save myself.
Amen.
You see, there was the Pharisees, they thought they didn't need repentance. They were the just ones. So high and mighty that they couldn't even see the fall that was going to come.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot ever forget that we were once the same way. Once the same way.
Mm-hmm.
How many years did it take God to wake us up?
Amen.
But you know what I love? God never leaves us nor forsakes us. The Father knew where his Son was the whole time. And the Scripture says while he was a great way off. I think the Father had like one of them telescopes that can see from Earth to Mars and see a little speck. And as soon as he saw his Son come to his senses and turn around.
Yeah.
Looking unto Jesus,
yeah.
the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, God got up and ran on down.
Yeah.
I like that song. The only time I've ever seen God run is when he ran to me. The fatted calf is God's unmerited favor.
Yeah.
God gives the best gifts to the worst people by our standards, and he gives the same gifts to the ones that by our standards are so great. It's God's love that sent his only begotten Son. It's God's love that convicts the heart of the backslidden. It's God's love that heals the brokenhearted. It's God's love that causes the sinner to cry out, have mercy on me.
Amen.
The Father says to the elder son, you're always with me. You're always with me. Do you know how much of a blessing it is to never leave the Father's house? There are people growing up in this day and age that have had Christian parents their entire life and had Christian values their entire life. And because of that knowledge that they were given, it keeps you out of certain things. I mean, you're a different type of person when you receive good word your entire life. And these two had received good word their entire life. And as such, they were kept out of this world. It is a blessing not to ever know what it's like to be backslidden. You were always with me. You never had to go through what your brother had to go through. What you don't realize, the same grace that caused him back to come back is the same grace that kept you here. We have to understand that. The son could have had whatever he wanted. He said, all I have is thine. And don't you realize, church, that you don't have to work your way to a blessing. You see, this son was saying, I've done all this, now bless me. I've been obedient, now bless me. I've done this, now bless me. If you think that God's only going to move for that friend that needs to be saved is if you fast and pray a whole bunch, you've got the wrong idea. You've got the wrong idea. If you think God's going to do it more because when you pray, you split your eyes like this, you've got the wrong idea. If you think God's going to move more because you beat yourself, you've got the wrong idea. It is God's grace. It is God's love. It's his faith in Jesus. Hope that has come to pass and love to see it through.
Yeah.
The elder son was with him the whole time.
Okay.
The whole time. Don't you know that we have a God that likes us to ask for things?
Amen.
We have a God that likes us to ask for things.
Yes.
Ask and you shall receive.
Yes.
Ask and you shall receive.
Yes.
You don't have to reach some level of spirituality for God to bless you with a certain thing. So why don't you just ask?
Yes.
Why don't you just ask? I would have given it to you. All that I have is yours.
Amen.
All that, isn't that what Jesus said? All that are thine are mine, and mine are thine, and thine are mine?
Yeah.
Ask. Amen. Amen. It's a beautiful thing to walk with God and not to walk against Him. To never desire to leave His presence. Yeah. To always be in His presence. There's nothing that can make that better. There's nothing. You don't have to go out and sin just so you can feel God's love again. Just to check and see if He's there. Let me see if I still got Jesus. Let me go do something stupid. See if you can fix it, that way I'll know. That's not necessary. It's not necessary. Just ask God to show you some more love. If you're feeling a little abandoned, ask God to come give you a big old hug.
Amen.
He'll give you a big old hug. He'll help you out. He'll strengthen you.
Yeah.
We have no need to leave the Father's house.
Amen.
You know, when I was 18 years old, I left my mother's house and went to college because I was independent. Don't you know when I realized I needed a new pair of shoes, I wish I was dependent. I said, man, I got to buy a pair of shoes. Never did that in my entire life. It was a new experience.
Yeah, yes,
God wants us to stay in His house.
Amen.
And remember that when God gives us this beautiful message of the cross, don't allow pride to come up and take away what God has doing. It's God that gives the victory.
Yes.
It's God that makes our life better. It's God that
yes.
does everything.
Yes.
He does not want people boasting in themselves,
no.
but glorying in the cross
Amen.
Of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Everything that God has is ours and for us. He has more than one fatted calf in the sense of the other son, there's many calves. There's a cat on a thousand hills. Just because God blessed the one son that had done bad, it did not keep the other son from being blessed.
Amen.
Understand that sometimes we'll see God, we think God's blessing some person. God's using all His blessing on them. What did I mean? There's room. Amen. There's room. God's concern has never been on the non-lost sheep. God's concern has never been on the just. You see, it's a blessing to be saved.
Amen.
But there are multitudes of people out there that are not. God focuses on that which is lost. That which is lost, He said, I have come to save that which is lost. So we have to learn from these stories that when we see people go away and we see people go astray that we knew or didn't know or what God leads us to, go in love to them. Love will fix doctrine issues.
Yeah.
Love will fix doctrinal issues.
Yeah.
Love will fix a broken marriage. Love will fix... It's better than super glue. It fixes everything. Now, I've used some super glue on a lot of different things, but love fixes everything. God understands one thing that his brother did not understand. His elder son didn't understand this. God knows that the life of a person is more valuable than the current condition they may be in. You realize that God, when we're always looking at fruit, the church can become very judgmental because all we do is look at is fruit. We think, oh, that person is praising the Lord, must be saved. Do you realize that? That's how we think.
Mm-hmm.
If we see a person praising the Lord, we automatically think, oh, they're saved. If we see a person going to the hospital and praying for someone, and they say in Jesus' name, we think they're saved. We see these things because we can inspect fruit. That's how we know whether they're wolf or sheep. But fruit can be deceiving at the same time.
Yeah.
But God knows that the value of a person is far greater than the condition they may be in. Let's pretend for a second if this is a $1,000 bill, which it was.
Okay. And I said, do you want this? Would you say yes or no?
Yeah.
Oh, hold on a second. What if I crumple it up just like this? Would you want it?
Yeah.
What? $1,000 bill, man. $1,000 bill. I'm going to save $1 million. You might want to do it for $1,000. It's some dog duty right there. I dropped it. Stepped on. You still want that? $1 million! $1 million! Regardless of the current condition that it might have been in, God still understands it if you want to fold it.
Yeah.
He can clean it up!
Yeah.
He can clean it up!
Yeah.
He can get it right! So with a little recline, it will never lose its value because God is the cleaning God! The blood of Jesus Christ! From that son that came home, he loved me.
Yes.
I wanted to be a slave. He treated me like he made me his son.
Hallelujah.
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 Isn't God good?
Yes.
He loves me.
Amen.
All of heaven rejoices
yes. Yes.
When one sinner comes to repentance.
Amen.
All of heaven. The angels rejoice.
Yes.
Get out the tambourines. Put it on the bass drum. Boom! Saved. God is good. God is good. He loves me. It doesn't get much better than that. He loves me. Now, it's a funny thing how people determine what love is. How do you know your husband loves you?
Picking on you today.
How'd you know? What did he do to make you think?
He told
you. Did he show you to do anything special? Like when you out first met, what did he do to win your heart over? Did he buy you flowers? He took care of you? What about you? What did your husband do to win you over?
He just showed love.
He just showed love?
Yes.
What about you? Who else is married here? What did your husband do to show you that he loves you? I'll tell you what I did.
Oh, wow.
I used to be quite the poet. Roses are red and some socks are black. Come with me and I'll buy you a Big Mac.
Men will do just about anything to win a woman over.
Yeah. Call them on the phone. Oh, you're so special. You're so beautiful. Bring them flowers.
Yeah. Open up the car door. Come to get in. If it's raining, they'll take their jacket off and use it as a...
That's the phase, don't it?
I guess so.
But who can say, for the one that calls us his bride, that he died on the cross?
Yeah.
For us.
Amen.
He didn't buy us
Amen.
A pizza.
No, no,
he didn't bring us flowers.
Yeah.
But he saw the condition that we were
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, I'm going to give you the greatest love of all. I am the greatest love
yeah.
of all. When
yeah.
you think got it wrong, the greatest love of all
yeah.
is the love that God showed on the cross.
Hallelujah.
When he said, you know, forgive them.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy them
yeah.
with my blood. I'm going to redeem them from their fallen
yeah.
condition
yeah.
and make them just mine.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, my God.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Thank
Amen.
You, Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Because he loves me.
Yes.
Yeah. Nobody will love you like the Lord.
Yes.
And you should love nobody else like the Lord.
Yes.
And because of that love, I don't do things just not to do them. Why do I need to? I don't need to run away. I don't need to provoke my love to anger. Don't need to anger the Lord because he doesn't do anything to deserve that.
Amen.
This morning, as I close, God loves me.
Yeah.
Say that right now. Say, God loves me.
God loves me.
God loves me. Do you believe it?
Amen.
Tell somebody else about it because God is love. I'd ask the musician to come this morning as we close. Heavenly Father, Lord, you took the prodigal that was in us. You looked at us in our situations and the various things that we've gone through in life. And nothing about us is good, Lord. But we thank you for your great love. We thank you for your rich mercies. And we thank you for your loving kindness, your peace and your joy, all that you've done. And I ask that we all stand this morning. In Jesus' name. Right now, I don't know the condition of everybody here, but if you're in a far-off land, just wasting your time away, just wasting your life away. As I said, the Father is coming out to you. The Father is coming out to you today. You may be standing right now knowing that there's something wrong. There might be pride that should not be there. And that needs to be nailed to the cross. The Lord is here this morning for us to receive His Son Jesus because He loves us. He loves us. Let's open up our hearts this morning and let His love become the reason that we live. If you need prayer this morning, if you need salvation, if you need forgiveness, these altars are here. We want to embarrass you. If you need a fresh touch from God, these altars are open. Don't leave here wishing you had come. Come on home if you're not home now. There's a fatted calf for you that was slain 2,000 years ago that we might rejoice and become the firstborn of many sons and joint heirs with Christ. His arms are open. Lord God, we thank you again for this gathering. We thank you for the people.
Thank you.
We ask that you watch over this church, watch over our hearts.
Yes.
Keep us where we should be, humbly submitted to you.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, we give you all the praise and all the glory.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand of praise this morning.
Amen.